It was meant to grab people's attention and put island food on the map. But the TV show Pacific Island Food Revolution was also intended to change behaviour and encourage people to ditch the rice and tin fish and eat more healthy island food. And it proved highly popular, with one series already shown internationally and another is about to go to air.
Last year saw the beginning of a revolution in the Pacific. A revolution that set new standards and changed lives forever.
It's not going to stop here. This will take us to the wall.
And this year, it's going to get even bigger.
It would be an honour to win this.
We're practising what we preach about eating healthier.
As 12 new teams compete to represent their home nations.
I have the passion for cooking. This is heaven.
But now there's a problem, and it's finance. The Australian government, in partnership with the New Zealand government, underwrote the project from the start, but now Canberra's role has run its course. Robert Oliver, who is the international chef who founded the Pacific Island Food Revolution, is optimistic that a new deal could still be reached, but he concedes that his organisation may have failed so far to get its wider message across to government that TV entertainment can encourage healthy eating and drive down the high rates of non-communicable diseases such as diabetes and heart disease that are rife in the Pacific. Robert Oliver spoke with Pacific Beat's Richard Hewitt.
Imagine representing your country in the kitchen.
Oh my goodness.
This is no simple deal.
Cooking for expert judges.
I can't believe it's her.
The jittery that Her Royal Highness is right next to us.
This year, teams from around the Pacific,
local food culture is very important. It's our identity.
Are ready to start a revolution.
So we were established for the pilot, quote, establishment period. And now I think we're all clear that it's successful and we need to keep it going. Behaviour change doesn't happen in a 1 or 2 year period. It happens over a 7 to 8 year period.
So is it therefore a case that whilst Australia was prepared to put money in at the start, they're not prepared to put any more money in at this stage for various reasons, not least, I imagine, to do with COVID-19?
I think COVID-19 has made all the donors in the Pacific region review their priorities of spend. But also, we were never assured that it would be funded by Australia moving forward. We hoped it would because we've had such a fantastic support and relationship with the team at DFAT that we work with. And also because I think the Pacific Island Food Revolution is a demonstration of Australia's genuine commitment to the well-being of the Pacific. So I was hoping that would be the feeling moving forward, but COVID has changed everything. There was also, as we understand it, more of a desire for the Australian donor spend in the Pacific to be directed towards infrastructure. And we're not that. We're behaviour change. We're behaviour change and health. And because we're food-based, food sits across many quote-unquote development agendas, biodiversity, climate change, health. If you put food into tourism, it becomes an economic development opportunity. So we can pivot in any way because that's the nature of food. We're flexible.
So do you think perhaps even allowing for the COVID-19 crisis that perhaps Australia's attitude here is a bit short-sighted?
We're grateful for the support we've had and we'd love to keep working with the Australian government. And I'm sure if we could find the right home, we could, but we're a bit different from everything else. And the criteria for funding may be hard to apply to us, even though we are showing impacts and we are showing results. And remember, behaviour change projects that are typically funded longer probably don't usually come in the entertainment package. So I think to me, it's been a bit on us and that we've had trouble articulating what and who we are, and we're getting better at that. And just for the record, I would love to have a continued relationship with Australia because all the missions in country have been fantastic. People understand this is an Australian and New Zealand project, and that's certainly elicited a return sense of well-being from the Pacific. And bottom line is, if the health issues in the Pacific are not resolved, they do end up on the front doorstep of New Zealand and Australia to be resolved anyway. So we are possibly away being on the front end of that.
So is it fair to say that you've asked for additional financial assistance, but the Australian government have basically said no?
We're asking. We're in the process of asking and redefining our value proposition, and we hope that we can represent to them successfully. At this point, it's no, but the door is absolutely not closed. And I note that the Australian desire for media content in the Pacific, the free-to-air TV initiative that came out of the Department of Foreign Affairs, which was about Brand Australia being broadcast into the Pacific, and we are a part of that. I was surprised we weren't mentioned in that because we are so overtly Pacific relatable to and addressing a real issue in the Pacific, but we are with that, so that's good too.
You are, but in some senses you're not, are you? Because $17 million has been put into that initiative. At the moment, you're not getting any more money from Australia, and yet that TV package includes the likes of MasterChef, My Kitchen Rules, not really the kind of program that you want to put out, because as you say, your program comes with a message.
Yeah, and also our program is Pacific. Pacific people see themselves in ours. Listen, I'm from the MasterChef MKR world. That was how this idea originally began. I don't know that promoting Brand Australia through that is going to elicit that diplomatic feel towards it from everyday Pacific people to everyday Australians, because it's like putting another world on top of an existing world, whereas we are that Pacific world already. I'm the only foreigner in the show, and the show is populated with absolutely extraordinary Pacific people.
Pacific Island cooks will compete head to head.
I need to show the judges something different, never seen before.
Ministers' wives are in it to win it.
Fijian foodies.
We're ready to take on this challenge.
We'll show you how easy it is to eat well.
You've had the pilot. You've had the first series. I believe the second series is in the can and ready to roll, I think, later this month.
That's right.
It's what happens after that, I guess, is the problem now. How do you keep the show and the initiative alive?
Absolutely. And we are struggling with that as a team. And we are hoping that we can still find a home with the Australian government. And it may be about how we define ourselves and how we present ourselves. I want to point out that we are not just a television show, but we're a campaign. And we're a campaign similar to an anti-smoking campaign or a seatbelt campaign. And they took a long time. Also, they took a lot of investment. And we're competing in the food space with the likes of Coca-Cola and the big processed food brands who have a much bigger budget than us. So we want to be as committed as them. I don't think we'll require that level of budget because we're telling the story in a very different way that's going right into Pacific people's homes with Pacific people telling that story themselves. But it does raise the question of, well, who's actually committed?
How would you describe the feedback that you've had from the project overall? Clearly, the TV series is the flagship, if you like, but everything else that's associated with it, what sort of feedback have you had?
Terrific feedback. And because it's new, we learn as we go here. We have a large social media associated product, much more than regular TV show has. We also record all our recipes and publish them for people to use, which other shows never do, because recipes, of course, are tools to good eating. And it's also the soft effect. The whole kaupapa behind Pacific Island Food Revolution is that if people were eating their original foods, their original cuisine, their original cultural food, albeit in new ways, but the foundation, they wouldn't be sick. We wouldn't have an NCD crisis where 84% of Fijians today have diabetes. That simply would not exist. These are very new numbers. So it's not just that the recipes or the TV show or the social media or the partnerships we're now developing with other organizations on the ground to do kind of community activities. It's that general sense of, wow, this is our culture. We are our own solution. That makes people feel great. And you know what? It's true. It's anchored in truth. It's not promo marketing. It's not a spin. It's the real deal.
In the biggest television cooking competition the Pacific has ever seen, whose food will reign supreme?
If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Pacific Island Food Revolution.
If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen indeed. And Series 2 of Pacific Island Food Revolution is set to roll out across the region at the end of this month. Robert Oliver was there talking to Richard Hewitt, and the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade has been asked to clarify the funding situation, but Pacific Beat is yet to receive a response.